Welcome to Meltdown to Mastery. I'm your host, Jane Marquis-Endy, and today we have a very special guest joining us, Lisa Tahir. We're going to explore the transformative power of the Chiron effect. Lisa's book sheds light on how Chiron, a planet in astrology, unveils our core wounds and eliminates the path to healing and manifestation. Get ready for an enlightening conversation on astrology, empathy, and self-forgiveness. Let's dive in. Welcome to Meltdown to Mastery, empowering women to overcome midlife crisis by rewiring the subconscious mind. Feeling overwhelmed, disillusioned, stuck? We all have. Here we explore inspiration and empowerment to navigate through the tough times and move to a place where hearts soar, minds manifest, and bodies heal. Welcome, Lisa.
Jane, thank you so much for having me on today. It is a delight to be with you.
Yes. So I want to hear all about this. How did it come to be? I know Chiron is a planet.
Yeah.
And you say it's a minor planet, but how did this book come to be?
Sure. This book came about as an answer to some questions that I had, which I think often happens for those of you listening when you don't find the answer or the product or whatever it is you need, it can often put you on that journey to create it. And that's where I found myself, Jane, unexpectedly about 5 years ago, a little more, where I wondered for myself in my own therapy, healing journey, and for my clients that I serve, what is beyond the story of our woundedness? What is beyond the narrative of where we've come from that we're so often overly familiar with our past? And it's like to be in the now and to create moving forward the life that we want, what does that really entail? And it led me in meditation to just hearing the word Chiron, C-H-I-R-O-N. And after some prodding by the universe to kind of like explore this some more, I learned that Chiron in our astrological birth charts illuminates the area of our life, the main area in our life that we tend to hide or edit from others, even ourselves, because we might not feel good enough. We might not feel like we have value or our voice matters. And this causes us to act or not act in certain ways in our lives that don't serve for us to really be happy. And that's where I started to write and research to uncover this area of vulnerability on a spectrum up to and including wounding. So vulnerability and core wounding on the same spectrum. And we all fall somewhere on there around a certain area. And I want to help people really love themselves, forgive themselves, and deeply and empathetically attune to yourself in this area. I'm going to pause to ask you what you're thinking, Jane, about what I'm saying.
Well, two things. I love that, you know, you came to this by asking, and that's often how it comes, isn't it? When we ask the universe, this information comes. And so true. As a homeopath, I know that we all have these inner wounds and we have this amazing way of just covering them up and pushing them down. And we feel vulnerable, don't we, if we expose ourselves or, you know, expose it to others. And so we don't heal it many, many times. It gets left unhealed because we keep it pushed down. So tell us more.
Yeah. And I think we don't mean to. I think this is often not like a conscious decision, like, oh my gosh, I am feeling outwardly successful or looking outwardly successful, but inside feeling not good enough. It's not like we're not typically deliberately minimizing ourselves or our needs or even self-sabotaging. It's kind of like this very in the background experience. And Chiron illuminates what that background in the shadows dynamic is for you. And it's really by having consciousness. And to make this more tangible and real, how Chiron at all has meaning and value for you is in your astrological birth chart, also called your natal chart. Most of you listening, probably all of you listening, know what your sun sign is. You could even know what your moon is and your rising sign. Like, I'm a Gemini sun, Aries moon, Aries rising, but I didn't know what my Chiron was or what that even means. So Chiron, your Chiron placement is generated by your date of birth and your place of birth. If you have the time of that you were born, that will generate the house where Chiron is in. And so Chiron will be in one of the 12 signs: Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, all the way through Pisces. And in my book, there's a chart where you can look at your birth info. There's also an interactive website you get where you can plug it in once you get my book, and it'll generate where Chiron is in one of these signs and the house placement if you have the time of your birth. But you don't need that. The house placement generates the area of your life this vulnerability manifests. Like, is it in your intimate relationship versus at the workplace, in your public persona, or with your own self and your self-esteem? But you'll kind of know that. You'll kind of know intuitively where this manifests, versus knowing that your Chiron is in Aries speaks to a vulnerability up to and including a core wounding in your sense of value and worth. And this person, for example, might believe that to be loved, you have to work really hard. You have to earn love. You might have fallen into patterns of people pleasing in your friendships and relationships. And so I'll give you 5 to 6 takeaway steps and 5 or 6 affirmations to help you shift this pattern, like right now as you're reading. And it's the same for every placement of Chiron in all 12 of the signs.
How interesting, because I you know, I always find it fascinating that we're born, you know, like fully aware of what we want to achieve in this lifetime.
Yes.
And so we're almost born with this vulnerability that will allow us to learn from it. But it's just, it's like your Achilles heel. You have to see it to heal it.
Right. And it's also the source of our greatest power. And many of you listening are already naturally healing your Chiron placement. I see this so often, Jane, with people, what they're doing with their work, especially a lot of podcasters and people in the wellness space, health, emotional well-being, you know, coaches, naturopaths like you are, like, you're drawn intuitively to heal yourself as a byproduct of your work. And it's been so awesome to see, because that really speaks to, even when you get a cut, when your body has a cut or a broken bone, it sends healing there immediately. We just have this innate, powerful capacity to self-heal. And the body does it a little more naturally than our mind does. With mental health, you have to really sometimes seek your own healing out. You have to expose yourself to some new thoughts. You have to identify thoughts that don't serve you and release and replace them with thoughts that do support and empower you. And that's what changes our belief system and dictates the life that we live. And I talk about that when, in the title of the book, even the Chiron effect speaks to that orbit that we have around our people, places, and things. Our daily routine is our orbit, and we habituate similar people, places, and things that make up our schedule, you know, what our lives look like. And people orbit us. So we're all like these little planets, so to speak, in our own solar systems. And we get to say, we can influence our own personal solar system to enhance it and cause it to just be easier for us. And it's totally through knowing this area of vulnerability and really embracing that part of ourselves and in others with forgiveness and with empathy and with love rather than judgment.
Yeah. So fascinating. So, you know, I think when in our early childhood, we're programmed, but we're also so susceptible to someone programming us, almost like, say we were say we were born, like you say, with needing to have more self-esteem, but we were born with a mother who never listened to us. And every time we made a choice, she said, it's not the right choice, but we were also vulnerable on that level. We would develop, you know, that kind of need to overcome that more strongly than something else.
Yes. And what you're saying, Jane, sounds to me a lot like Chiron in Gemini, which is a core wounding and empathetic attunement. And that's just a fancy way of saying what you described, that especially when we're children and we're learning how to communicate what someone's face means, what physical gestures mean beyond just the words that are spoken, the energy behind them, that when a parent doesn't attune to your emotional needs, especially when you're young, you don't learn how to meet them, or you develop a belief that your emotional needs are not going to be met. You often might feel in your adult life misunderstood, and that's so painful to feel like you're being so clear, yet people aren't getting you. And that's the experience of misattunement, is, you know, this like desire in your life to be seen and heard accurately for who you are. And that pattern is set up in our upbringing, in our childhoods. But the good news is that we can change it. Whatever you've experienced, you can absolutely reparent yourself if that's what's needed, and be the presence that you didn't get. You know, there's always a way to help yourself heal. And that's what my book is really about. It's a guide with some very practical tools on how to heal whatever it is that you've been through, whether it's abandonment, neglect, trauma, that there's a way.
Right. And I've always found it fascinating that, say, one person isn't affected at all by their father that was missing completely, and another completely affected by it. And so it would depend a little bit on where Chiron is situated and what they've come to learn. Is that correct?
You know, and Jade, I would even question when there's been deep abandonment, I don't know that there's the possibility for someone to not have been affected at all. I think mm-hmm. they could easily not be in touch with the part of themselves that was hurt, that was wounded, that felt unwanted, for example, or unimportant, or didn't understand why this, you know, father in your example left. So I think it's a matter, again, of awareness, like how tuned in to yourself are you and how vulnerable can you be? Because I talk in the book about, it's intuitive to, like, you touch a hot stove once by accident, you're probably never going to do that again because it's painful. And our emotional wounds are like that. That pain of abandonment, for example, it's so hard to feel that it's like innately intuitive to move away from it. Like, I don't want to think about that. I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to have any communication or relationship with that. But when we do that, consciously or unconsciously, we cut off from a part of ourselves that deeply needs attention. And then it will seek that attention in kind of backdoor ways in our lives, that maybe we'll abandon others when the going gets too tough. Maybe we're the one to bolt out of there. You know, when someone is really needing us or wanting us because we're afraid. So it's like that fear of going to those places that need our deepest healing is what my book invites you to in a really user-friendly way. And what I mean by that is, in the beginning of the book, I invite you to get a candle, a journal, just a simple notebook, and take, say, 15 to 20 minutes a day to be with yourself. Put your phone on silent and go through the book. I offer some of my own experiences as a way to invite you into your own memories of both when you felt loved and times when you didn't feel loved enough. And so it's like we go through this journey together. So it doesn't have to be so terrifying for those of you that do have some trauma in your past that's hard to be with.
Right. And I love that. I'd love to hear some of your own experiences just to help us realize how much this could help. But yeah, like, one person may look healthy because their reaction to the father leaving is to overachieve, and then they've achieved a lot, but the core wound is still there. whereas the other may run from relationships. So it's more obvious.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. That's such a good, yeah, absolutely, Jane.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I just, yeah, I'm always curious and I treat it on the unconscious level because I know that, like you, there's always a pattern or something that needs to be erased in a way so we can live more healthily.
And I think about even you being a naturopath is being realigned. Our emotions take up residence in our bodies and manifest often as, you know, disease, as illness, as injuries. And, you know, the author Louise Hay, the late and great Louise Hay, who wrote You Can Heal Your Life, really talks a lot about the emotional root causes. She was one of the first to really explore and explain more about how our emotions affect our physical health. And now there's so much more science about that. And it's something I use in my practice, helping clients understand the correlation between their physical health and the emotions that need to be processed and healed. And often it's like this excavation, I call it in my book, into your own areas of vulnerability with empathy and with self-forgiveness, because I know I was taught about forgiveness in the context of forgiving others, like you just have to do this. And it never really made like a hell of a lot of sense as far as how am I supposed to give others? Like it was just kind of like do this without a roadmap. And so in my book, I talk about forgiveness being a progressively actioned process that starts with you in your own relationship to self, and to really look at the layers, the layer upon layer of judgments you have held against and towards yourself, feeling like you should have known better and done better. And then it's like, you know, the judgment and blame of ourselves, where we need to most deeply forgive ourselves first for even not having the skills at the time or not knowing how to handle something unexpected. And that's okay, because life is going to give us time and time again to do it. So I talk in my book about exploring and really learning to forgive through starting with yourself first. And I wonder what you think about that.
Oh, I love that. And I agree. I'm a naturopath, but I'm also a homeopath. And what I've learned is there is no separation between the mind and body.
Yeah.
And when we have these programs running, there will be a constant message given to an area in our body, and eventually we're going to develop disease. So it's really important to heal these core wounds. And yes, like every time something happens, we do say we get angry at someone else, but really it's directed toward ourselves.
Yeah, I think that's often the case when you really look deeply at why you might be so angry at someone. There's often a layer in there of you're really furious with yourself for even being vulnerable or for loving them. And I want to tell you, it's okay and it's beautiful that you did. And one of the most basic statements you can say to yourself, though it might sound weird at first, is I forgive you for loving that person. I forgive myself for loving them. I forgive myself for being vulnerable. I forgive myself for having this need for love, for acceptance, to be seen. And the deeper you go, and I have my hand over my heart, I invite you to put your hand over yours as you say things like that to yourself, because it's these younger places within us, the vulnerable places that are just so natural to need, to want. We are humans and we are this fleshy body and this emotional system and spiritual system. And it's like, it's okay to want what you want and to just really deeply allow that to be okay with you.
Yeah, because we are human. As a human being, we can't be perfect. I think that's the first thing to realize, and that we're going to experience all these things. And so to forgive ourselves and go, huh, it just happened, and bring awareness to it.
Yeah, and I actually think that is what makes us perfect. I do believe we're perfect in our own. We make sense to ourselves, and some affirmations you know, one of the things I've been speaking about lately is having to do with just how much you matter, just how valuable you are. Mm. And every day, if you could take a moment to tell yourself that, be it when you first wake up, in the middle of the day at some point, as you're driving or just in the bathroom with yourself, just to really deeply feel into how much you matter. And even saying things like, I really matter. I am so valuable. I am so important, because it feels best, you know, we look for that from others, but that might not come that often. So it's really important to self-affirm, to self, you know, like really give ourselves this love, and it can start to feel just as good as if someone else was telling you, because your voice is the most important one to hear loudly and clearly. And I just want to offer that, to take time daily to let yourself know just how much you matter.
Yeah. And at first it can feel so foreign, doesn't it? Because it's not something that we've been taught.
And, you know, some kids are like, and those kids, those of you listening that had the parents, because I have some friends, mm-hmm. you know, who really have parented well and let their children know you are loved, you are so valuable. And it's been actually really wonderful, Jane, to see, you know, those kind of parents and kids that grow up really knowing their value and worth. And so for them, it comes more naturally than for you that were more heavily criticized, or maybe your parents were both working or had an addiction and something just kind of took them away from you and really being there for you in the way that you needed. It's most important for those of you like I was as well, to learn, to reparent, to affirm, to really like take loving good care of ourselves. It is not too late. It is never too late. It just might take some more work at first. It definitely was for me. I entered therapy at age 21, and I talk a bit in my book about at 19 becoming homeless when my mom kicked me out of the house unexpectedly, and just how traumatic that was for me. And the messages, the meaning I made of myself falsely, like believing, like telling myself that I didn't matter, that I wasn't important. And the truth was that my mom at the time had an addiction, and that took her away from being able to be like the loving parent that I know she wanted to be and is so much more of today. And so I spent a lot of years of my life, you know, believing I wasn't of value. I wasn't important because this primary caretaker, my mom, you know, didn't want me. And the truth is that she did want me. She didn't know how to be there for me while the addiction was really taking reign and was the primary attachment and relationship she had. And I'm sharing that because I know some of you listening have had a similar experience. And just to let you know that you can definitely walk this path of healing yourself, and it's so worth it because you can find some peace, some more peace.
Yeah. I know my parents went through a really difficult time when I was small. And so they went into survival mode and they had to work really hard. And so they weren't there emotionally as much as, you know,
as you needed.
Yeah. As a child. Right. And so, I've felt the need to heal that. And it's not their fault. Like, it's just life. Right.
Well, it is, but I think it, you know, part of the healing process does have to do with the awareness that you could have done better. And it's okay to feel angry about that because we all are accountable. And in my book, astrology is the diagnostic kind of place. It's like, you know, Chiron diagnoses where this area of vulnerability or wounding is. And then the healing is found through psychology, spirituality, and taking personal responsibility. And it does help to take some personal responsibility, or those that hurt us. I mean, how healing is it when somebody owns up to you, like, I really effed up. I am so sorry I let you down. Like, that is worth its weight in gold, you know, when someone's able to say that to you. But I talk in my book on this section about forgiveness. That doesn't always happen. And so it's important that we still, you know, give ourselves that healing and, you know, hold that person accountable in our minds, and then kind of visualize. I go through a visual realization process of them even telling you that I am so sorry, and like imagining them apologizing to you and telling you what you've always needed to hear, because that piece of repair is important for our healing, and you can visualize it, you know, at the right time to receive that in the absence of that person being able to do it in life.
Yeah. And by doing that, you know, it doesn't mean we won't be triggered in the future, but at least when we are, we have more understanding.
Absolutely.
Right? Why?
Deeper awareness.
Yeah.
And I talk in my book about triggers being like an energetic attachment that is kind of like an invisible landmine mentally and emotionally. And, you know, when they erupt within us, it just reveals an area within us that needs some more healing. So instead of being judgmental and critical of yourself, mm-hmm. ask, oh my gosh, what does this trigger have for me to learn about myself? Because it is just an invite to heal more deeply, to love yourself more thoroughly versus criticizing and blaming yourself. Or feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm still thinking this, I'm still feeling that. It's okay. So it's like softening, really going easier with yourself.
Yeah, it softens it. And each time you're able to move through it easier and
yes,
with more forgiveness, like you say.
Absolutely.
Like yeah. Beautiful. So in your example, can you share with us where Chiron was? Just a little bit more about that.
Sure. Like in the example... For myself, do you mean?
Yeah, when you were 19 and that happened to you. That's
sure. Well, I didn't have any awareness of, you know, Chiron and any of that at 19.
Time, yeah.
It was just like, oh my gosh, what do I do? Where do I live? You know, unfortunately, I had a wonderful family to take me in and another family after that. And I found my way. And that whole experience actually caused me to want to be a therapist and help other people that had experienced something like that. So it was actually a great gift in disguise to through. Yeah, that kind of just life jolt and change, because I love being a therapist. I love helping people heal these kind of issues. And really, I feel like that is something to feel so proud about, when you're able to heal something that was a wound and then respond differently to others when triggered. It's like, that's when you really made it. That's when I think like a measure of success is that you're not dictated or driven by your wounds. You're driven by love, and you're driven by something higher than what is happening on this physical plane. And that's why my book like reaches into spirituality. And I invite you to define that for yourself. It may be the religion of your childhood. It may be something altogether different, like having to do with finding solace or spirituality in nature or through metaphysical practices. I talk about meditation. And so, you know, just my Chiron being in Aries, having to do with a core wounding in one sense of value and worth, and naturally starting to heal that by becoming a therapist. And now having the consciousness just in the last 5 years that this is kind of the main area to focus my energy on when I'm feeling low, when I'm feeling upset. How might I not be acknowledging myself or valuing myself to look there? And so that's how my book can help you to learn this kind of one area to be mindful of, to be loving in, to really support yourself in. Does that answer your question adequately, Jane?
Yes. But I love how, you know, you came about it, because these wounds do lead us to the greatest answers. And it led you to be a great therapist and write this book.
Right? Yes.
And, yes. Yeah, my original question was, where was Chiron? So you said it was in Aries?
In Chiron, it's fixed. Just like, you know, like, what's your sun sign? What sign are you?
Capricorn.
Just like you're a Capricorn, you're always going to be a Capricorn. You know, it's like that Chiron is in a sign when you were born. So Chiron's always going to be in that sign in your personal birth chart.
Right.
Chiron, though, you know, moves like, it spends about 8 years in one sign. So your friends of the same age, you're going to share the same Chiron placement, but what'll be different is the house placement. Is it in the first, second, third, fifth, or 12th house, for example? And that's what speaks to this vulnerability Is it in your personal finances, or is it in your ability to communicate? Is it with your siblings versus is it at the workplace? And so, you know, knowing your Chiron, and is this more specifically answering you? So I was born with Chiron in Aries, just like I was born a Gemini. And so it's kind of the similar thing.
Right. And so you said there's a 7-year cycle?
Yeah. Chiron spends like, say, 8 years in a particular sign. So say like I'm 50. So people in my age range in an 8-year span, we're all Chiron and Aries, but it manifests differently. You know, so this core wounding and value and worth looks different based upon the year exactly that you were born. That for me, it manifests in my first house of self-esteem. Like, this isn't apparent to anyone else but me. I'm the one that, you know, judges myself as, say, not being good enough. No one else does, for example, because it's a first house placement of Chiron. Versus if Chiron is in your second house of personal finances and moral values, that looks a lot different. That might be more visible, you know, potentially to others. And does that make sense? So it's like the house placement reveals your personal connection to Chiron that's different from your peers born in that same 8-year time frame.
Yeah, beautiful. And so what are some of the other house placements?
Actually, I think it's more important to go through the Chiron placements, because the house placement, again, they're just a nuance and not everyone knows their time of birth. And that's just not as significant to know your time of birth as most everyone, I think, knows their date of birth. And even my father is from Pakistan and they don't keep accurate birth records. So it's interesting that him and my family's date of birth, it's kind of like, they don't really know if they were born on that day, but that's what they've always gone with. Yeah. And so just go with what you know. So say we talked about Chiron and Aries having to do with a wounding or vulnerability and your sense of value and worth. If your Chiron is in the sign of Taurus, this speaks to a core wounding by neglect. We talked about Chiron and Gemini having to do with a core wounding and empathetic attunement. Chiron in Cancer speaks to core wounding by abandonment. Chiron in Leo speaks to a core wounding, vulnerability/vulnerability, and your creativity, that you might be awesome at helping others create, but you might neglect doing that in your own life. You might put your own creative projects on the back burner, and your healing comes through really bringing those to the forefront and letting people know you might need to delegate some responsibilities so you can be creative. Then Chiron in Virgo speaks to a core wounding in the management of your physical health and its associated routines. For you, you're going to definitely want to make sure you do your yearly doctor visits, you know, stay up with your physical health, looking at what you're consuming, both food and visually, TV, audio, you know, music, and really making your total health a priority for the Chiron in Virgos out there. Chiron in Libra has to do with a core wounding in your sense of personal independence. You might go with the flow a little more than what you want because it's hard to stand up or even know what you prefer. So it's like healing this. Codependency is found in Chiron in Virgo placements. I'm sorry, Chiron in Libra placements, this personal independence wound. Chiron in Scorpio has to do with a core wounding in the experience or expression of power. Like, you might have been bullied, you might have been abused somehow, or conversely, you might be the bully. You might have abused others to try to feel better about yourself. And it's in healing that relationship to power that you find your freedom. Chiron in Sagittarius has to do with the core wounding with illusion being presented as truth. And so things might have happened in your childhood that, like, you knew were wrong, but nobody was taking responsibility. So you're really sensitive to people not being congruent in their deed and their word. Chiron in Capricorn has to do with the core wounding and responsibility, achievement, and success. So you might work and do really awesome, but somebody takes credit for your work and you're not credited appropriately. Or conversely, you might kind of steal credit from others who did work to help you. So it's really coming to alignment in those ways. Chiron in Aquarius has to do with a core wounding and connection and community. So you might live with this kind of sense that you don't know where you fit. You don't know who your tribe is. And that can be really painful to just not know who your people are. So it's really coming together. I offer in the book, like maybe joining a meetup group, coming together around humanitarian causes, things that you're really passionate about, and creating friendships centered around those causes. And then lastly, Chiron in Pisces has to do with the core wounding in self-care and the immaterial world. And I write about Mother Teresa having her Chiron in Pisces, and we all know how much good she brought to the world in helping others. She really got a handle on how to care for herself first and then giving from that overflow. So for you, it's really about, you know, not giving from a place of depletion, but giving from your overflow and taking the necessary time out to tend to your spirituality and your emotional health and well-being so that you can show up for others authentically.
Ooh, I love it.
Thank you. That's kind of all of it in a nutshell.
Right. And, you know, as you were reading, you can see that you might have I might have like four or five of those, but there will be one main one that you need to focus on first, that and you can find that, right?
Yeah, Jane. And my book, it's also a beautiful guide. Like there are times when things come up in my life, like, oh my gosh, I'm feeling abandoned. I'll turn to the Chiron in Cancer chapter where I talk about grief and loss and the stages of grief as written by Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross in the 60s and later adapted to grief. She did the stages of death and dying that were adapted to grief. And I correlate that with our chakra system. And so my book is really a guide. Like when things happen, how do you cope with them? So exactly like you said, there's this one kind of area that we tend to create our patterns around. But you know, when you live enough life, you're going to live a lot of these experiences. And my book helps you come through them, you know, feeling better rather than worse, and with having an open heart instead of a closed heart.
Yeah. And like Chiron, it just illuminates and shows the way.
Yeah, it does show the way.
Yeah, it's so beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. How do people find your book and your website and all about you?
Sure, Jane. My book, I'll start. My website is nolatherapy.com. It stands for New Orleans, Los Angeles Therapy.com. And there's a button that says order my book. And there's like synopsis of it for you to see if it's right for you. You can even find your Chiron there and read a bit about what my book is about. And if it resonates with you, I'd love for you to order it. I have some links there to Amazon, to my publisher. It's also on walmart.com, booksamillion.com, and every Barnes & Noble brick and mortar, as well as the online. And if you prefer to shop local, you can just go in your local bookstore, give them my name, Lisa Tai here, the book title, and they can order it for you if you want to support your local bookstore. And I'd also love to offer your listeners, Jane, half off an intuitive psychotherapy session with me if they just mention you or your show. I really love connecting with people, and I do 45-minute individual or couple sessions. And then I do a 30-day intensive. And both of those, if you mention Jane and her show, I'll give you half off a first appointment or a first month to work together to help you see some really, you know, quick changes in your life.
That's so wonderful, Lisa. And so empowering. I just love what you're doing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jane. I appreciate you and what you're doing.
Thank you. Any last words just to leave people with?
To go back to what was covered in the beginning portion, you matter so much. And every day to take a moment to just affirm your value, your worth, whatever you're going through, whatever you're feeling is valid. You don't have to minimize or compare yourself to others and then judge yourself as coming up short, to really just approve of yourself. And I just want you to know how much you matter, being exactly who you are.
Because really, we are the ones. And as each of us discovers that, we'll change this planet.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Lisa. And
you're
to
welcome.
Everyone out there, don't forget, don't give away your power to anyone else. Be the creator of your own life. Spiral up, spiral out.
If you've enjoyed the information in this episode, share it with someone you care about and know will benefit. There is one thing for certain. Meltdowns are inevitable. Let's move into mastery together. In the show notes, you'll find my Linktree, which has links to many of the most popular platforms. You'll also find links to connect to the featured guest, webpage, and social media. Thanks again for being committed to mastery. Change in this world really starts within each of us.